Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, you're listening to That's What She Said on MSL Radio with Kate Wall. We're going to do something a little different tonight because there's a little bit of scheduling problems with Kate's game and, you know, folks' game show. So it's going to do some live. So I'm recording the show. And let's just get into it. Week 96. First of all, I'm going to tighten this up a little bit, just not only because I want to talk about more topics, but not everybody gives a bleep about talking about the matchups, and I like to talk to myself about that on my own time. So on to Wally's week 9 picks with minimal to no analysis and stats, because some of y'all hate numbers. And its most analysis will be basically X team sucks, X team tie, or I don't care. Or this game is cock. I'm going to go to the picks that nobody cares about for me, but I'm doing my own thing here. So, sure bet. You got Bengals over the Browns. Bengals play high with consistency and resiliency. Next up, Patriots over Redskins. Jake Gruden compared Gronk to a Steph Curry LeBron hybrid. And Washington sucks regardless of what Kirk Cousins screams at the media. And Tom Brady's midseason MVP. Saints over the Titans. Bottom line is that Titans are terrible, and New Orleans Drew Brees are clicking, coming off of 608 yards, 52-point wins. And finally, the Broncos over the Colts. After Denver's defense just shut down the undefeated Packers and Aaron Rodgers, what do you think they're going to do to a one-out Colts team that's firing everybody? So, next category, more powerful than that. We got the New York Jets over Jaguars. Jets will probably beat this team with one good hand, as long as Geno and Blake Bortles don't need to play. Bortles is improving, but no one cares except for Dylan Coleman. Falcons over 49ers. Normally, this would be a sure bet, but the Falcons apparently are frauds, losing to Tennessee and almost losing to Tennessee. Atlanta gets a win because of two words, Lane Jacobs. Giants over the Buccaneers. Giants still suck on defense, but they still keep frustrating people who pick against them by putting up points on offense. Eagles over the Cowboys in Sunday Night Football. Dallas will continue to be a dumpster fire while they wait for Romo to return. Even though Philadelphia continues to start the walking interceptions and oopsie Redford instead of Arcane Kiss. All right, then the use your discretion coin toss category. We've got Packers over the Panthers. Rodgers had a lost consecutive games in 2010, but Carolina is real. However, Carolina is on short rest of a pretty dream Monday Night Football game, and I think Green Bay will bounce back because they're playing angry after being embarrassed on national TV. Bills over the Dolphins. Both teams last season getting their asses handed to them. More on this game coming shortly. Questions over the Rams. It's a great matchup. Whoever forces more turnovers will win, and the Vikings are on a hot 3-8 winning streak. Steelers over the Raiders. Oakland and Derek Carr making noise, but Pittsburgh's at home, and they got a real sense of urgency. Finally, Chargers over the Bears on Monday Night Football. You might as well touch on this game because it's a stinker. Monday Night Football with two teams combined record of 4-11 and each without their best player in Keenan Allen and Matt Forte. So, Colin Kaepernick getting benched. It's a little interesting because I don't know if you guys saw this week, someone put up a graphic on Twitter comparing Kaepernick and Cam Newton. Kaepernick's got a better completion percentage, more passing yards, less interceptions, a better quarterback rating, and he's taken 28 sacks to Cam's 13. So one guy is, an MVP candidate, and the other guy is benched. It's pretty interesting. And, Friday, Cam expressed his disagreement, and he was kind of uncharacteristically semi-defiant when he was asked whether he agreed with Tom Sula's assessment that he needed to, quote, step back and breathe. Cam said, "I'm not out of breath, so I don't get that reference." He thinks it's inaccurate that the offensive coordinator says he's been playing cautious in the 4-interception game. And he said, "I haven't seen a quarterback play a perfect game game yet. I'm very critical of myself. So I believe that he's the main scapegoat. You know, the team's not being loyal to him despite his loyalty to the team when he signed his contract extension last year. The 49ers took a friendly deal that, you know, allows the team to get out with a minimal salary cap damage should they come in by April 1st. Cap would ask whether the savings and money would help the team build, and one of the top players says he loves the organization. It's why he signed that flaky contract. He knew it wasn't good for him long term, but he wanted to help the team. So I don't know. I mean, you know, again, Blaine Gabbert is starting and he's terrible. So we'll see how that kind of continues to unfold. So other interesting stats. Kirk Cousins has not thrown an interception in 2 weeks. It's his longest stretch without an interception ever as a starter. Yeah. Jameis Winston's 86.5 pass rating is the highest for 7 games of any quarterback taken first overall. And let's see. Oh, yeah, here's one more thing about Blaine Gabbert. Since entering the league in 2011, Gabbert has the lowest total QBR, 22.6, out of 52 players with at least 500 action points. FPI's predictive rating has ranked Gabbert as the third worst starter or backup in the league behind Jimmy Clausen and Greg Bittner. And, yeah, so that's it. Now we got Dolphins are coming off of about the same. They lost the Patriots, lost their best, you know, defensive lineman in Cam Wake, and they're headed to Buffalo. Both teams are 3-4. It's the 100th regular season meeting between these two teams, and obviously, as you remember, in September, Dolphins lost 41-14, and just looked completely out of pink. You know, so now they get to a second chance to prove that they're, you know, an improved team with better mindset and more physicality. Daniel is not a very good quarterback individual road game. He's 3-7 and one of those wins was a game he left after 5 to injury. He's got, you know, indeed 7 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. And his other 45 starts, he has 69 touchdowns and 39 picks. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. You know, Tyrod Taylor is a top-tier quarterback, but, you know, he had 136.7 quarterback rating versus Miami, probably the highest in his career ever. So Miami is kind of forcing him to run and get after him, whether he's passing or running, and they got really need to make those tackles. Red Ryan was trying to hire Coach Campbell with Jets. You know, he made a joke like that both times when he goes across the field, like his first most head coaches, but I ain't whipping that one. I'm not even trying to whip that one. He's a big dude, man. I'm 52 years old. I'd like to be 53. But Dan Campbell is a big dude. Former Dolphins strong plan, Richie Incognito, has high praise for Campbell, you know, saying what a good motivator he is, and, you know, they're not surprised at all that they're coming out there and they're fired up to play for him. Where she said, you know, Dolphins are playing a lot harder under Dan. One thing I thought interesting, I don't know, and I think possibly that the Dolphins not activating running back Jay Ajayi, even though he's eligible to return this week, might be a mistake. It'd be better backup option or complement to Lamar Miller than Josh Green and Damian Williams because he can contribute on pass protection and catch passes, you know, giving Kenny more looks and options to coaches. So, I think Dolphins need to get back on track. We all know that. You know, they're 0-3 in the AFC. And as Jarvis Lander said, you know, it's time to start peaking. You know, with a win, they can get back into the thick of the playoff race. There's only 5 teams in the AFC with winning records. So that gives them hope. They need to return to that efficiency level they had in the win over Tennessee and Houston. We all know that. And, you know, Campbell stressed that if Miami playoff push, quote, really does start with Buffalo. We'll also put them at 0-4 in the AFC East, which would just about eliminate them from playoff contention. So, as far as defense goes, you know, Buffalo's going to have shady backs, and they didn't have them when they played week 3 against Miami. You know, they need a strong pass rush. Obviously, it's going to be difficult without Cam. but they are making her jumpy and all that stuff, you know, contain Shady and Carlos Williams on the run, and don't let Charles Clay destroy them like last time, so Cole needs to really step up on that end. Chris McCain playing time, and so, yeah, regarding the offense, you know, Buffalo's defense has fallen off in recent weeks. Miami kind of needs to capitalize on that early. Buffalo's defense is susceptible to the pass. You got Landry and Rashard Matthews were the only players who played well in the 41-14 loss. And Buffalo's going to bring the pressure on Tannehill, so, you know, the wide receivers need to get open quickly. And it would, you know, might help if Devontae Booker could contribute, but that's highly unlikely. We all know Tannehill is effective when he rolls out and, you know, does out short passes to Fields or Landry, the tight ends, Cameron Jansen, or even, you know, Lamar Miller. Biggest thing is, you know, they need to get an early lead and build off that. They're terrible when they play from behind, and you know that, and risk it made. We need to establish the run game and don't hop on it. Come on. It's really essential because it gives them that balance and effectiveness that they needed to keep less pressure on Tannehill so he doesn't get forced into making the bad throws that lead to the turnovers. You know, Buffalo's run defense is good. You know, they allow only, you know, 3.8 yards a carry. But it's important to utilize the run to set up the play action and balance the passing game. And, you know, that's the way you're going to keep the Buffalo defense off balance, you know, with an offset run game and then, you know, short pass. So hopefully they can get that going. You know, in general, well, we all know converting third downs has been an issue. They need to make progress on the first and second. You know, it's fucking third and long all the time. Being careful that, you know, quote, you don't want to be in those situations where they're behind by more than two scores, or you put yourself in third and ridiculous retard, it's going to make it hard.
I think that you have a lot of questions. Yes, yes, yes.
And, you know, you got the impact players like Tannehill, Sue, Miller, Landry, Rashad Jones. They need to play like effective players and actually make an impact and then take to the next level. And a lot of stuff that they're going to do. But it's essential to get this win. And going forward, after this game, we've got the Dolphins have the Rookie of the Year. I don't know. I go back and forth on this between Amari Cooper and Todd Gurley. I know a lot of people are really hot on Gurley right now because he's, you know, been playing really hot. And I probably still go to Gurley, but I mean, you can't discount what Amari Cooper's done for the Raiders and the impact he's making. So then go to offensive rookie of the year, offensive to Gurley, defensive rookie of the year. I like Green Bay's Jamarius Randle. You know, he made some really crucial red zone plays, like against that last second play against the Chargers when they were like on the 2 yard line or something. And he batted the pass out on fourth down, and Green Bay won that game somehow. But also, you know, give a shout out to Buffalo's quarterback, Ronald Darby, who got the most passes defended in the NFL. So, you know, I think that's very impressive. Most improved player, Andy Dalton. You know, everybody says he never wins in the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if this ain't the same Andy Dalton that we're, you know, used to seeing, he's really stepped it up and keeps the team, you know, clutch in, you know, essential situations. So, there's that. Best quarterback, Tom Brady, runner up, Aaron Rodgers. Running back, Devonta Freeman, tight end, Gronk. I mean, what else can I do? But Tyler Eifert, too, is also starting to make a pretty big impact. Wide receiver, Julio Jones, I'm going to go with on that. Let's see, quarterback. I like Darrelle Revis. You know, he didn't have a great game against the Raiders, but he's Darrelle Revis, which I was. Again, Josh Norman, Miami's safety, Rashad Jones, and Oakland's Charles Woodson. I mean, Charles Woodson, 39 years old, man. And he's out there playing better than 20-year-old. As far as what I think is going to be in the Super Bowl, I'm going to stick with New England versus Green Bay. Because, yes, I know that Green Bay had a bad loss last week, but they're also one of the best teams that bouncing back from adversity, and I'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. All right, age ain't nothing but a number. That's going to Tom Brady at 38, who is playing better than we've seen in years, and it's just amazing to continue to watch him. It's fun to watch him, and, you know, you can't argue with that whole, you know, middle finger to the NFL after what they put him through. And then the other one is Charles Woodson. He leads the NFL with 5 interceptions, and then he's 39. Biggest disappointments. As far as rookies go, I'm going to have to go with Melvin Gordon. He's not doing this for San Diego, he did to Wisconsin. And, you know, there are a lot of high hopes for him. He's a good player, but he's just not producing. Other ones, the disappointments, Andrew Luck. Yes, I know he's been injured and didn't disclose his injury. And there might be some consequence for that, but still, I mean, it's just not looking right. And then also the Detroit Lions, who were a playoff team last year, are now like just a complete show of everything they used to be. And then Sam Bradford, and I mean, he throws more interceptions than he does touchdowns. He's just ineffective. Like, I still don't know why he's still starting. All right, most underrated. I have to go to Blake Bortles. Nice job, pretty done. Mark Ingram and Keenan Allen from San Diego. And then probably overrated is coming into the season. Was DeMarco Murray. You know, all the hoopla about him, you know, getting the contract in Philly and Cowboys letting him go. And he's not putting up any numbers. And then Byron Maxwell also was just playing terrible at quarterback. So, we had a lot of injuries last week. And it's kind of crazy, like, think of it. I mean, like, season-ending injuries, like, are pretty dominant on this list here. But I'll just run down real quick. Le'Veon Bell, torn MCL, out for season. Ricardo Lockett, which is probably, like, the scariest one to watch on TV. You know, with people with concussion and, you know, your ligament damage and stuff. He had surgery about season, but just the way he just, like, crumped, you know, he got hit, and then he just was motionless, like there on the ground. It was really, you know, it's one of those things that's really scary. You know, when to think about everything. You know, obviously, you know, put up the Alpha Legion of Boom while you're, you know, being carted off. But that was definitely a scary sight there. Steve Smith Sr. tore Achilles out for a season. He was all about that this is going to be his last season, but now I think I'm going to come back and play again because obviously nobody wants to go out like that. Cameron Wake, obviously he's torn Achilles out for a season. It's really devastating to the Dolphins' defensive line. And, you know, because of his age, who knows if this is going to be the last time we'll see him, you know, as Miami Dolphins. Brian Fitzpatrick, he has a torn ligament in his thumb, his throwing hand, but he's very actually going to tolerate the pain until he can have surgery on it in the offseason. So we'll see, you know, what happens with that because, you know, it kind of affects, it doesn't affect your ability to take the snap as much under center as people initially thought, but. And Coach Fitzpatrick commented on that. But, you know, it's just, I think part of it, you know, with the handing off of the arrow in your left hand and stuff like that, he's got a special glove on and everything to help with, you know, the grip, but he's going to have to change the game around. And obviously, Chance is disappointed, but. That's not the answer, and neither is Bryce Petty. So Fitzpatrick is, you know, pretty tough guy. And I think he's gonna do what he can, but it's another friendly reminder to quarterbacks that you need to slide once in a while. Not just run it into the stuff. Then we got Matt Forte with a knee injury, Reggie Bush tore ACL off the season. He flipped on exposed concrete behind the 49ers bench and that big push in wide out of their exposed concrete. And then you had from Cleveland, defensive backs Joe Hayden and Dante Whitner. On back-to-back plays, both suffered concussions. New Orleans, Kyrie Robinson is out for the season. He had a gruesome leg injury. And then Keenan Allen, believes he had a kidney laceration. He had left the game because he was having muscle spasms and some stuff, but I guess, you know, later they found out that. Corey Majud. I don't know his name. So San Diego's got an ankle. Jacquees Smith from the Bucks has an ankle problem. Something that I thought that was kind of interesting was that Brady Quinn had said that, you know, PED could be a factor or, you know, a partial contribution like HGH or other supplements that players are taking. Like they have a tendency to dehydrate the body and then therefore makes it, you know, more tight and brittle and obviously more susceptible to breaking or, you know, injuries being suffered. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't know 100% on that, but it's something to look at because the rash injuries this season starting in the preseason and, you know, up until now it's been a lot. And it's not just to, like, donate players. I mean, you know, Le'Veon Bell, Cam Wake, Rich, you know, not Reggie Bush to some extent, but like, you know, Steve Smith Sr., you know, they're all difference makers on a team. And that was just this week. So, probably team of the week, and, you know, call me biased if you want. So, it's the Panthers versus Carolina. Green Bay's favorite on the road, but they were also last week. You know, it's two NFC top contenders in powerhouses. You know, Green Bay's coming off getting kicked in the groin by Denver. I think they got a fireman under them. You know, it's projected to be the closest game of the week. It's highest pregame matchup quality of the week ahead, according to the FBI. Green Bay's receivers, obviously, the Chardonnay get separation. And Carolina quarterback Josh Norman eliminates separation, and he'll probably be covering Randall Cobb. Josh Norman said something about Rodgers, said, quote, I'm sitting back there watching film on this guy and stuff he's able to do, man. I'm going to have to plaster all night and not take any plays off. You know, Wednesday, Devontae Adams was in mid-sentence being interviewed when James Jones walked by and just shouted, quote, get open. Some said it's either an indication that the wide receivers know they need to get more open, or they're tired of being asked why they can't get open, or both. Green Bay's been bad on third down conversions, and so that's, they really got to get that going. And then if the wide receivers can't get open, then Aaron Rodgers might have to start throwing them open, which is kind of counterintuitive to how Rodgers operates. You know, the team, and he has the mindset that unnecessary risks that could result in turnovers are kind of prohibited in the Green Bay offense. We all know his best touchdown interception ratio in NFL history, and I don't think he really wants to mess with that. You know, it's going to be, I think it'll be a good game. It's going to be tough for everybody. But Carolina's defensive line is, it's less likely to get as much pressure on Rodgers than the Broncos did. So maybe that's a little bit of breathing room for Rodgers, but, you know, Green Bay's defense is, went to the 23rd and 12th defense and 27th in rush defense after the last two games where they gave up over 1,000 yards to Denver and San Diego. So that's got to be addressed. You know, again, Cam Newton, he's good. He can make things happen. But Green Bay needs to channel their anger after being humbled and embarrassed by Denver in the right way, and maybe they can be successful. All right, so last thing I'm going to talk about, I want to get to this, is Greg Hardy. So, you know, we all know that that's been reported the day after his domestic violence charges were officially expunged from his record. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was going to talk to the Falcons, but I didn't get to it. It was after, you know, he had the incident on the sideline, you know, with the special teams coach. You know, I was going to, you know, kind of saying, like, you've got video evidence now that he's, you know, kind of a violently aggressive time bomb slash a-hole. But, again, that's never enough. Like, so then you have this come out, and now you're outraged. And to me, that doesn't make sense, because the original report detailing, you know, the police account of what happened to Nicole Holder, you know, so seeing children's with bad stuff, you know, hitting her head on the wall, having her arms going in the toilet, being dragged by her hair, you know, thrown out of the bed, or the futon full of assault rifles. I mean, being choked and him saying he's going to kill her. But I read that and I felt so uncomfortable when I read it, because it was so detailed and it was so disgusting. Like, I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me right now what people are doing with, now you see pictures, you know, like, now you can see all the bruises all over by it. And so now you're going to start being outraged? Where was any reaction when you read that stuff? I mean, the words are powerful, too. Like, I don't know. It's really frustrating. I don't know. It's like our society and our culture has kind of become more and more voyeuristic, you know, that whole I'll believe it when I see it mentality. And, you know, that's why, you know, a lot of these domestic violence, you know, cases don't get reported or don't get, you know, taken seriously enough. And tonight, I guess earlier, he went on Twitter and said that he regrets, you know, mistakes he's made in the past or whatever. But the guy's shown no remorse. Obviously, the NFL can't do anything about it now. So the ball's kind of in, you know, Jerry Jones and the Cowboys court, but, you know, the Cowboys said they never saw the pictures or anything like that. The NFL did see the pictures, and, you know, that's why I think, you know, that 10-game suspension was, you know, levied on him. But the Cowboys, you know, Jerry Jones calls them a leader and all that, but, you know, they're saying they're, you know, they're going to support him and whatever. And the whole thing is, it's because he's that good of a player. And if they cut him, you know, it's not to say that nobody else is going to sign him, because desperately need a good pass rusher. It's, you know, it's one of the more essential, you know, defensive pieces. And he's, again, he's been performing quite well. He's been playing this year. And then it's that's another conundrum. You know, it's, you know, yes, we compartmentalize and fans a lot. And, you know, teams too, obviously, but it just, like, to how, to to what extent are we going to keep doing that? And I don't know. I it's the whole thing upsetting. Like it's frustrating. And I don't know. I just think we all need to be better, kind of, in how we evaluate these things when we first hear about them. I mean, there was very detailed. There was a very detailed police report, and Sports Illustrated also reported, you know, back when that was released, that there were emergency room photos that revealed bruises on a foot, wrist, neck, chin, face, forearm, elbow, and back. I mean, pretty clear. But yet, now we got pictures. You know, they want video. Everybody wants video or photo evidence to believe domestic violence victim. I mean, like, what is wrong with it? I'm not going to rant about this tomorrow because it's probably gone over time now. But anyway, I just think we ought to be better. Hope everybody has a really great rest of the weekend. There's some crappy football games on. There's some good football games. And we're halfway through the NFL season. I can't believe it already. But anyway, you've been listening to Whatever She Said on NFL Radio with Casey Wallach. And have a good night.
All right, sorry for all the Twitter notifications you heard and me accidentally clicking on an article that had sound attached to it. This is clunky. It was kind of like, yeah. But I wanted to get the show out tonight because it was important to me. So have a good night, have a good weekend, happy football Sunday, and I'll talk to y'all next week. Adios.